This is Monday, January 7th, and the topic tonight is renewal.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, it's nice to see everyone here for the new year, 2008. And we all noticed, and the people who didn't notice, I'll mention it, especially for those people out there in cyberspace. If you notice, there is no carpet in the room. The carpet that was in this room was absolutely hideous, torn, stained, filthy, everything. And several months ago, at least eight, I think, we started treatment work to get a new floor in here or new carpeting. And it came. We have it. The reason why I'm bringing that up is, I don't know if the rest of you stopped, but I never stopped treating for the new floor. I always saw something different. There was movement, what I call movement in mind, one time when I came in and they had shampooed it. And I thought, well, now we're moving in the right direction. Tonight I came in, and I had that today. I said, oh, carpet. And it's gone. So they'll either put new carpet in here, or they'll have a nice clean floor from now on. So we're going to have that. Now, what does that mean? Never, never, never give up. If you want something and you're treating for something, it has to materialize. That's the way this thing works that we call the mind or the mind of God. So if you think that you're not getting something, keep treating. It will get there. You have to realize that everything is in divine right order and in divine right timing. We, with a finite mind, we like everything done instantly. And we think, oh, we put a time limit on it. This thing that we call God is eternal. There is no time in the mind of God. Time is man-made. So you have to remember that when you're doing treatment work. But the thing to always remember is never give up. Never give up. Keep knocking till the door opens. There's a wonderful little parable in the Bible about the person who went late at night to the neighbors and knocked, needed bread, I think. Knocked and knocked and knocked. Finally, a light went on upstairs and they said, go away. He knocked and knocked and knocked. Finally, they came down the steps and opened the door. And he said, I need bread. He got bread. The thing is, you don't give up in this world. You don't give up in this life. If you want something, keep knocking. Keep asking for it. Keep treating for it. And you will receive that. You see. So look, last year, all your treatments, what you wanted, you see. And then start to do that again. Now I'll give you a little hint. Robert Bitzer, who had the Hollywood Church of Religious Science and lived to be, I think, 98 or 102, I don't remember which, he finally made his transition. But he had told me one time when he was older, he had gotten so ill, and he said, Dallas, I was so ill, I couldn't even do a treatment. I had no energy to do a treatment. But he said, then I remembered that all the treatments that I had ever given were still in operation and were working. And that's what you have to know. When you give a treatment, you have to know that it is going someplace and doing something, and it will manifest for you. And that is done with your persistence, you see, with your intention and with your focus. And this being the new year, we are going to look at those different items, because as Andy said, the title or the theme for the whole month of January is renewal, and how we are going to renew ourselves, how we are going to renew our thinking, how we are going to renew our lives. And that, of course, is done by understanding that this is a mental world that we live in. It's always going to boil down to that, regardless. As I said, on Thursday night, you can read any book that you wish on metaphysics, on self-help, and all the books that are out there that are available, you may read. But unless you realize that you're living in a mental world and that everything that's happening in your life is happening because of the way you are thinking, those books are not going to do you a bit of good. Not one iota of good. It starts in your mind, and it starts with what you are thinking. And it starts what you are thinking about yourself. Tonight we're going to touch on the idea of focus. I focused on this carpet, and now the carpet is no longer there. But I kept a focus on it. The reason why some of us do not manifest or manifest quickly is because we do not maintain a focus. We get busy with the world, and we allow the world to convince us of something else. So we change our mind midway through, or we think, oh, well, that carpet doesn't mean that much. Who cares about that carpet? Oh, that carpet doesn't mean a thing to God. That's a piddly little thing. The universe doesn't even want to know about it. That's an absolute lie. You have to realize that not only do we live in a mental world, this world that we live in is responsive to us. It's interactive. It's interactive. We are part of the whole thing. We are part of this thing called the universe, and we are certainly part of this thing that we call God. We have to be. You've heard this statement all your life. God is all there is. And we say that constantly. God is all there is. And then we say, oh, but the economy is causing this. No. If you always remember that God is the source of your supply, that God is the only thing that's doing anything, the world has no effect on you whatsoever. You don't have to listen to what the world is saying out there. Do not be convinced by the world. And certainly, do not be convinced by your mind. Your mind will want to tell you. My mind wanted to say, oh, forget the carpet, Dallas. Who cares about the carpet? I happen to care about it. Why? Because I wanted it to happen so that you people could see the power of treatment or the power of prayer. Now, it took a little longer than I had anticipated, but I never gave up. And I never said, where is it, God? Will you hurry up and do this? I knew that it would do it at the right and perfect time. At the right and perfect time. Remember when I say, I am the Fun and Entertainment Committee, and God is the Ways and Means. And many times I thought, remember our lady that comes, Carol? She works for Rug Company. Just the other day, I remember thinking, you know, I could ask Carol, maybe their rug company would donate a rug, and then I could tell the police to get rid of their rug, and we'll put a rug in here for them for free. But what was I doing? I'm not the ways and means. I am not the ways and means, and you see what we want to do? We want to figure out how to solve it. We want to say, oh, well, let Carol buy, you know, let them donate this rug, let them do that. That is messing with God's committee. You see, God is ways and means always. All you have to do is be the Fun and Entertainment Committee. You're the one who says, or I was the one, who said, new rug. Now, I didn't know how that was going to happen. I didn't know how it was going to happen. But I turned that over to the Ways and Means Committee. The same way if you're working for a big corporation. You do your work. The other department has to do their work. And that's what God is about. Now, I also say many times, everyone knows that God is mighty. And nobody has a problem when I say, you know, God is mighty. Oh, yeah, God's mighty. But do you know that God is useful? And do you use God? Do you use God? You have to be able to use God. You see, to bring into your life what you want. Many people get defeated. Don't be defeated. There is no absolute reason to be defeated. If you know that you have within you a power that is greater than you, a power that is greater than anything on the outside of life, and that you can use that power, there is no reason to be defeated. You have to go to that power. You have to ask, and you have to be persistent, and you have to have focus on what you want. and it will manifest itself. Look at the universe, this thing that we call the universe, as Play-Doh. I call it the Play-Doh factory. And if you ever have taken Play-Doh, you can make anything you want out of Play-Doh. And when they finally came up with the Play-Doh factory, you put a piece of Play-Doh in there, you ground it around, and it came out like a cookie cutter or whatever, you see. That's what you are doing with your thinking. You are making the mold. You are making the cookie cutter. That's all you have to do. Then the universe fills that for you. It fills that for you. So if you get a desire, the universe has to supply everything that's needed to make that desire come true. That is what God does. That is what God does. But you have to use your belief system, and you have to use your imagination, and you have to use your mental power of concentration and focus. We were given a marvelous gift called the mind, and we were given many tools that we can pull out of our toolbox and use. And one of them, the most important, is imagination. So you use your imagination, you start to see a new carpet, you start to see a different floor, and then you allow God to take care of all the details and do all the work for you. That is what you are here for, to learn to do that, to learn to manifest what you want in life, and to realize that you are part of this whole thing, that this is a responsive, receptive universe that we live in. Every thought that we think goes someplace and does something. There's no such thing as an idle thought. And you cannot afford the luxury of negative thinking. In 2008, tell yourself, I cannot afford the luxury of negative thinking, and I will no longer participate in that. You see, it is time now, in 2008, to come into your own. What do I mean by that, come into your own? I mean it is time for you to step up and become the person that you want to be, and to have the things that you want to have, instead of going another year without. There is no reason in this entire universe to go without anything, because you live in an abundant universe, you live in a prosperous universe. And this class, abundance, prosperity, including money, there is plenty of money out there. And you must remember that. And you have your own money. You see, you cannot take from anybody else. Your cosmic bank account is your cosmic bank account. So learn to draw on that cosmic bank account and see your money coming to you. And if you haven't experienced that lately, now is a wonderful time to experience it, because I have news for you. This thing that I call the cosmic bank account pays compound interest. So if you haven't used it for a while, it's stacking up for you. It's stacking up for you. Now, I mentioned imagination. How are we going to do this? Here's how I do it. I imagine the cosmic bank account, and there happens to be a string hanging down, and I just go over and pull the string, and release my money. There was a black minister who used to say, Jesus, loosen my money for me. Jesus, loosen my money for me. He was also the one, and I'll think of his name, it'll come to me, it always does, I have a wonderful mind. He also said, if you want to be successful, you have to look good, and you have to smell good. Which is absolutely true. You have to do those things for yourself, you see. When you look in the mirror, you have to see yourself as beautiful, as successful, as wonderful. Those are the things that will bring into your life what you want. How many people here still do not love themselves? Aha, good. We all love ourselves. And are we all doing wonderful, wonderful me? Do that. Tell yourself how wonderful you are. Congratulate yourself. Pat yourself on the back. Pat yourself on the back for the smallest things. We have to constantly praise ourselves. We have to know how magnificent we are. Because we're part of this thing that we call divine. And it's inside of us. And we can use that. So that's what it is. Learning to practice the presence of God. That's what we're here for. But we're here also to have fun with it. People think, well, if I practice the presence of God, I have to sit at home in some monastery, light a small candle, eat a piece of broth, you know, whatever. No, you don't. It's time to be in the world. But be in the world practicing the presence of God and allowing yourself to have what you want. Come into your own in 2008. Make that your affirmation. I'm coming into my own. I am no longer postponing anything. The walls of lack and delay crumble around me. And watch them crumble. Watch them crumble. And claim what you want in life. And how do you do that? You do that by knowing what? That you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. Those are the items that you need to know. Those are the basics of your life. And when you learn that, life is wonderful. And you like living life. And you start to like yourself even more and more and more. And it works every time. So with that, let's get up and do the matter dance. Oh, Rabbi Knight. That's it. He's the one who said that. Here we go. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yay! Do that as often as you can. And we have two people that had this first time we did the math dance, that look at the nice smiles on their face. You see? It may be silly, but it works. Smiling and laughing is the closest to God that you can become. And when you smile, you set off endorphins inside of you. All kinds of chemical reactions happen. And they're wonderful chemical reactions. And you feel that through your body. Laughter is healing. Smiling is healing. So smile and laugh a lot. It's a wonderful world, and we can all learn to do that. So, in this new year, try to renew yourself. Renew yourself by renewing your mind, by changing your mind about yourself and changing your mind about what you think the world is all about. Because whatever you think the world is, it will be. You see, that is the most amazing thing about your mind. Whatever you think about, you bring about. Whatever you think, if you think the world is suffering, is struggle, it will be suffering and struggle. If you think the world is easy and effortless, it will be easy and effortless. It is done with your mind, with your thinking. Remember, this whole teaching boils down to, it's always done unto you as you believe. Always done unto you as you believe. I was talking to Andy the other day, and he had run into somebody or listening to tapes or something. And he said, well, he seems to be very metaphysical because he says some of the things that you say, Dallas. And one of the things that he said was, if it's to be, it's up to me. I have used that affirmation for at least 30 years. And that's absolutely true. If it's to be, it's up to you to do it. If you want to be happy, it's up to you. It's up to you. You know. And once you realize that you can change your moods, once you realize that you are not held hostage by your thinking, that you can change your thinking. It is wonderful. It is wonderful. So in this new year, with this teaching and so forth, learn not only to think about the principles, but learn to live these principles and learn to make them manifest in your life. Don't wait any longer. There are people, and I'll mention one, Rhoda, over there. She said to me one time, well, I'm getting this. And it may have taken me 65 years, but now I'm getting it. And her life is much better, isn't it? And you can think till you're
there. I have a life.
Yeah, you have a life. That's absolutely right. This teaching will give you a life. It will give you a life. So don't wait. Use it now. Do everything that you want with it. Don't wait around thinking, well, someday it's going to happen. Make someday today. Make someday today. I see that all over town. Someday, and that's Wells Fargo's new ad. Someday you'll have this. Someday you'll have that. Well, someday never comes, you see. Someday never comes. We only can live in the now. And that is what are concerned about. So I want to read something that I thought was very profound for the new year. And it happened to be today's reading. I read Daily Word every day, along with tons of other things. But I've been reading Daily Word for at least 35 years. And it's always absolutely succinct. So it always tells you what you want to know. All right, January the 7th. I am moving forward in fresh new beginnings. Ha-ha, fresh new beginnings. The new year brings fresh beginnings, not just on calendar pages of new months and days, but from within me. New beginnings rise up. I have the attitude of mind and heart that I can begin anew. An attitude of mind and heart that I can begin anew. So if you didn't like last year, if you don't like yourself last year, you have a new beginning. Right now, this very moment, you can change all of that. You can change all of that. I do not begin to do it over again, but beginning with the freshness, an outlook, and knowingness that propel me forward. I do not begin to do it over again. You don't want to repeat 2007. You don't want to repeat it. And you won't repeat it if you change your mind, if you learn to forgive yourself and forgive everything that happened in 07. Don't drag it with you. It will not do you a bit of good. And sometimes we would love to do that. Especially sometimes I would love to punish people. I just love to punish people. But it's not going to get me anywhere. And I don't want that in my new year. So I'm giving that up. Just give it up. Releasing any doubts, maybes, and I can'ts. Release those. The doubts, the maybes, and I can'ts. You see, they won't get you where you want to go. They won't get you where you want to go. With that, I can't. I always think it's a little choo-choo train, which always said, I can, I can, I can, I can, and just kept puffing away and made it up the mountain. And that's what we have to do. We have to know that we can do it. Why can we do it? Because we have a power within us that is greater than anything on the outside of life. And we can use that. What would be the sense for this thing that we call God to incarnate inside of us, to be part of us, and then not be able to use that? Now that would be what I would call a cruel God. And I'm telling you, this thing that I talk about, this God that I know, is not cruel, has never been cruel. Has never been cruel. God is love. God is compassion. God is understanding. And God is forgiving. And that's what you have to be. See, we must all become God. That's what it's all about. We have the seed within us. And that seed must sprout and grow until it takes over every part and every fiber and every cell of our body. And it will do that. I have moved from replaying discouraging messages in my mind to participating in a new beginning. How many people in here are still rehashing something that happened to them? Are replaying discouraging messages? Don't replay that. Where is it going to get you? It's only going to get you more of the same thing. It's only going to get you more of the same thing. So see yourself as the magnificent beings that you are. And see yourself with this power. You are not powerless. You are not powerless. You know, there is no such thing as a victim. The world likes to tell you that there's a victim here. There's no victims. There are only volunteers. And people volunteer to become victims. If you use your mind correctly, if you see the world correctly, if you see the universe correctly, there's no need to be a victim. So give up that in 2008. Absolutely refuse to be anything less than the God that you are. Than the God that you are. See, somebody once said we are all godlings. We're all godlings learning to grow up and use this power that we have. With attitudes and affirmations of overflowing faith, trust, and confidence, I reach new heights of spiritual expression. I do not circle repetitively. I spiral higher. With renewed attitude of mind and heart, I affirm the radiant light of newness illuminates my way, and I move forward in fresh new beginnings. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful affirmation for you. I will do that one again. The radiant light of newness illuminates my way, and I move forward in fresh new ways. In fresh new ways. So do that. Renew your mind this year. And you do that by knowing that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. You do that by knowing that you're a wonderful human being. And you do that by knowing that you have the power to be able to do these things. Instead of thinking, oh, somebody else will change me. You have to change yourself. Now, how do you change yourself? Stop doing some of the things that you have been doing in 07. Stop doing it. Do something new, something different. How many times do I say, do you take the same route each day, to and from home, to and from work? Change the route. Look at something new. Look at something different. And start to rewire your mind. Rewire your thinking. Years ago, when I was an absolute mess, and I first discovered this teaching, I did affirmations all day long. At that time, I was selling real estate, and I think I've told the story before. I did one affirmation from one traffic light to the next, and then I changed it and did another affirmation. And I kept doing that till I reprogrammed my mind. So I know that that can be done. Now you're going to say, oh, well, he didn't have much to overcome. I'm going to tell you what I overcame. First of all, I was a drunk. You know, no one knew that. But I drank a half a gallon of bourbon a day. But I became so good at drinking and working and moving, no one realized that I was drunk. I also smoked 4 packs of cigarettes a day. At one point in my life, I couldn't walk 2 blocks. I'd get out of breath. I lived at that time on a little hill, and the mailbox is at the bottom of the hill. I had to rest halfway up the driveway. I quit smoking. I was trying to figure which one I did first because I did them in a row. I quit smoking first. And how did I quit smoking? I went to the Lama Lung Association and laughed my way through the whole thing. I thought this was the most ridiculous thing I ever had. It was put out by the Seventh-day Adventist. And the film that they showed must have been from the 1940s with these people talking about all this stuff. So she said, whatever you do, no caffeine, no nicotine, and no liquor, you know. So every night I went home and got drunk. because this was my reasoning. I couldn't be smoking. I would get drunk and pass out. You see. So how did you smoke last night? No. So as soon as I got the smoking under control, I stopped drinking. That was in, I don't know what year, but it was in the summer. And when I would think I was just turning 40. And by Thanksgiving of that year, I had developed my running ability that I ran the Atlanta Marathon. So the mind not only healed itself and recovered, the body did also. Your body is very forgiving. The body will forgive you, but you have to stop abusing it. So I stopped abusing my body. So that is when I was able to change, when I hit probably bottom. I remember distinctly saying, I will not go on with this life because it makes no sense to me whatsoever. I'm working 18 hours a day. I'm smoking 4 packs of cigarettes. I'm drinking a half a gallon of bourbon. What kind of a life is this? What kind of a life is this? And I distinctly remember I was driving in front of the VA hospital on Briar Cliff in Atlanta, Georgia, in an old, beat-up, dilapidated 1964 Ford Falcon. And I took my hands and I went, oh! I am so disgusted with this whole life. And I'm willing to do anything. I'll kiss a snake if I have to figure this out. And lo and behold, somebody said, have you been to that church at the museum? No. Let's go on Sunday. And when Sunday, I thought I was home. Everything was perfect that Kennedy Schultz was talking about. The whole thing started to make sense to me. Then somebody would hand me a book, and then this would happen, and that would happen, and it just fell in. You see, once you make a decision, the whole universe comes and backs you up in that decision. But why did it happen like that? Because I used emotion. Remember here it says your mind and your heart. Remember, it has to be done with thinking and feeling. Most people want to stay in their heads and think and think and think and think. You have to filter this down into your heart where you know something, where you know something. So let's go back a moment to the carpet. The dirty, filthy carpet was in here. Now, we could all see the dirty, filthy carpet. It wasn't hard to imagine the dirty, filthy carpet. But what you had to imagine is something in its place and how you would feel excited when you saw it. When I saw the floor, I got excited when I came through the door. But you have to get excited beforehand, you see. You have to make your emotions run through your body. Affirmations work, but only if they resonate for you. So when I give you an affirmation like money is always freely circulating in my life and I always have a divine surplus, if that makes sense to you and your mind is not refuted or negated in any way, then that's a good one for you. But if it isn't, you have to change it so it makes sense to you. You can't say, perhaps, I make $1 million a year and feel good about that. But maybe you could make 70 and then 100 and then 200,000, you see? And it'll work that way. Everyone talks about Oprah, a woman, a billionaire, a black woman, a billionaire. What kind of a consciousness does she have? How many times have I told you, you have to stretch your consciousness, stretch your consciousness. When she started out, she was making $21,000 a year. She was making $21,000 a year. You can't go to a billion overnight. You can't go. But you can work your way up to it by stretching yourself, by saying, I can do this. I have a power within me that can help me. So all of 2008, use your mind to bring into your life what you want and not be convinced by the outside world. The outside world will do you no good whatsoever. Remember, one of the master teachers, Jesus, said, I am in this world, but I am not of this world. And that's what you have to remember, that we are in this world, but we do not have to be of this world. We do not have to participate in what's going on out there. The meanness, the whatever, the jealousy, all the stuff that's going on. We don't have to participate in that. We can make our own reality. We can make our own little universe to live in. And that's a wonderful thing to be able to do for yourself. A wonderful thing. And you can do it. Each and every one of you can do it. If I could take the life that I was leading and turn it in to the life, I happen to like my life right now. I just love my life. Well, love myself too. And it's a wonderful feeling. It's a wonderful feeling. And you see, I can say that without any little thing going off in my mind, which would have gone off years ago, saying, well, who the hell do you think you are? You're no better than anybody else. I'm not saying I'm better than anybody else. What I'm saying is, I like myself. I love myself. You know, and I'm delighted with what I find inside of me. I'm delighted with what I find inside of me. And that's what you have to do. And you can do that. So make that one of your little things that you want to accomplish this year. Don't put your life on hold. Don't put your life on hold. Make this the year that you come into your own, that you get what you want from life. Instead of waiting or never doing it, and then on your deathbed, when you're ready to reincarnate someplace else, say, I never did get what I wanted in that experience. You can have what you want. You have to make up your mind that you want it, and you have to give yourself permission to have it and be damned with what other people say. You see, that's where the little catch comes in. We think, oh, what will people say? Or I couldn't do that, or I wasn't trained to do that, whatever. That's one of the I can'ts. Learn to say you can do that, and you can change yourself. But learn to sit down and really love and appreciate yourself. And forgive yourself for anything that you've done prior to this moment right now. Prior to this moment right now. Because this thing that we call God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. Never sits in judgment upon itself through you. You see, God never condemned you. God never condemned you. That's why God is not in the forgiving business. God is in the loving business, you see. So you must learn to be in the loving business and forgive yourself for all those things. You see, if some people are still saying, well, you know, 10 years ago or when I was a child, I did this and it's an issue with me and I just can't get over it. I'd like to slap them. Number one, you're punishing something that no longer exists. That person that did that no longer exists. And if you knew what you know now, you wouldn't have done that. But you didn't know. You see, you didn't know. So you did it. You have to know that life is a progression. We're always moving forward. You see, it's a process that you're going through. So many people want to immediately be spiritual, want to immediately be religious. That's a process, people. And you may never get to 100% on this plane of action. You have to love yourself for where you are. And you have to say, well, I'm moving forward. And if each day, and sometimes I backslide, well, I sit down and I say, I'm not going to do that again. And then I remind myself of all the things that have changed in my life, especially my attitude towards myself. You see, many teachings want to tell you to help other people. Many teachings want to tell you to be of service to God. Now, I'm not against any of those things. But what I am saying is, there's not much you can do in this world if you first do not love yourself, if you do not appreciate yourself, if you do not know that you're wonderful, if you don't know that you're worthy, deserving, and totally lovable, and that you matter. You're not going to be able to help anybody else. Once you know that you have that, the other person knows that. They feel that, and they want that, and they trust you. You see? They trust you. But you have to remember to look for those people and to be around people that not only give the talk, but walk the walk. That walk the walk. You know, I was amazed. Years ago, I had a friend. Still have friends, but this is for me. She was into teaching people how to diet and lose weight. She must have weighed 300 pounds. She never lost it herself, never knew how to do it, but she wanted to teach other people. Guess what? She could fill a room. She could fill a room. People would come to see this fat woman tell people how to lose weight. Why? They had no intentions of losing weight, the people in that room. They had no intentions. If you had an intention to lose weight, you'd go to somebody who lost weight. You see? You can fill a room by telling people what they don't want to hear. You see? And she could fill a room with that. That's all well and good. A lot of people out there. But don't remain unconscious. Don't remain unconscious like that. Know what you're doing with your life. So let's talk a moment about this focus idea. You have to keep a focus. Everyone here, perhaps not the new lady, knows Emmett Fox's mental equivalent. And what we learn from Emmett Fox's mental equivalent is, first of all, to make anything manifest, you have to have a mental equivalent. You have to have a mental equivalent, which means, let's use the carpet again. You have to see something different, you see. You have to get a new mental equivalent. Instead of seeing that old ratty rug that was in here, you have to see something new and clean and so forth. That's forming a mental equivalent. But you have to do it with feeling and what's called warmth of feeling. You have to get excited. You see, when I made that transformation, I slammed my hands down on the steering wheel enough to break that steering wheel. That pushed feelings and emotions through me. As soon as I got those emotions stirred up and that feeling stirred up, people said, oh, have you been to that church? Have you tried this? Look, here's the book. There's this, that's that. Because once you make a decision, the whole universe comes and backs you up in that decision. But you have to get some kind of a feeling. Years ago, when we first started, do you remember how many times I said, if you want to do something, you're allowed to go, I want it now, and you slam your foot? That tells the universe that you're serious. That gets emotion started. You may do that, you see. I want it now. I'll tell you a cute story about how I learned to stamp my foot. When I was living at home with my brother and my family, I never asked for anything because I was afraid of my father, to tell you the truth. But my brother was never afraid of my father. And my brother loved Christmas, and he loved Christmas trees. And one day he went to my father and he said, I need $3 to buy a Christmas tree. So that was quite a while ago. So he needed $3 to buy a Christmas tree. Now, my father's favorite thing was, I'll give it to you tomorrow. He always wanted to put you off another day. My brother looked at him and he said, I want $3 and I want it now. And when he saved his foot, my father reached right in his pocket. Right in his pocket. You see, What is that whole idea? Be bold, and mighty forces will come to your aid. Be bold about it. Don't be mandy-pandy. My brother also taught me a wonderful thing when I was a child. I said to him once, well, you seem to get everything. He said, that's because, Dallas, I asked for it. If it's not worth asking for, it's not worth having. And that's what so many of us do, don't we? We don't ask. We think, oh, I would like to have that, but I can't ask. I'm too afraid to ask. Oh, I can't answer. Learn to ask. And learn to ask this thing that we call God. This thing that we call God. And this is a responsive universe. And it's going to do something about that. It's going to give you that. But you have to know that. So you get that feeling going. And then you keep the focus. Focus meaning your attention's on that. How many people start out the new year and they say, I want to lose 10 pounds. We'll use that. Or I want to make $10,000 more this year. And by the 7th of January, which is today, you have completely forgotten that you said those things. Because your mind gets busy with other things. Your mind gets busy with other things. So now you're not focusing on that, are you? You're focusing on this, 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 and this. You have to focus on what you want. That's why, if you want something, write down what you want, find pictures of what you want, and paste them somewhere where your mind can see them. Now, I'll tell you a little trick about that, what the mind does. So, if you have something that you want, and you paste it, say, on your refrigerator, and you look at that for 21 days, now you have to move it. You have to move it to the bathroom or to the bedroom. You have to move it someplace else because your mind says, oh, that's familiar. And it no longer sees it. It no longer sees it. And so many people say, well, I have affirmations around the house. Where do you have them? Well, I always put them right there. Yeah, right there. Yes. And your mind knows they're right there and looks and says, well, that doesn't mean a thing anymore. Move them around. Have fun with this whole thing. Have fun with this thing. Once you learn to have fun with it, once you learn to see how quickly you can do something by using your thinking, by using your mind, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. So now I'll tell you the big one about how mind works. If you'll remember, I bought a Mini Cooper. My Mini Cooper is at the body shop because the Friday before Christmas, pulling out of a parking space, a lady sideswiped me. Now, what do you say to that? It was my fault. I have to take complete blame for that, and I have to know how powerful I am. Because what was I thinking? I will tell you exactly what I was thinking. I said, geez, this is fun, Dallas. You have this brand new car, and you must know that you're worthy, deserving, and totally lovable, because no one's run into you, and you haven't run into anything. That one thought. Then I coupled that with, you know, this is quite an expensive car, Dallas. Are you sure you can afford this car? Now, the topper was this one. And I distinctly remember coming out. A friend of mine just gave another friend of mine $20,000. And said, here, no strings attached. It's yours. $20,000. I could buy this car. Why did you give that to me? That is how the mind works. That is how this whole teaching works. That is what we call the power of attraction. That is the law of cause and effect. That is that whole idea of the secret. That is everything. But you have to notice that, you see? So in 08, not only focus on what you want, learned to become a witness to your own thinking and learn to know what you are thinking. and learn to change it. I could have changed that. But that lady was there. She said, no, you're not changing that right now. So I could get very angry. I could get very upset. But I loved it. I blessed it. I released it. I loved myself. And I certainly loved her. And when I got out of the car, she came running at me with a cell phone, taking pictures and screaming, what were you doing in my right of way? It is your fault, Adam. I said, I was ready to throw that all back, that energy. And I said, huh, here comes God. Here comes God. And I said, let's not place any blame till we find out what went on. We talked a while before we know it. She was laughing, I was laughing, we shook hands, and the whole thing is over. Now, it's going to cost me money because it's my fault. That I don't mind. And the insurance company said, but it will not up your insurance because she says nothing happened to her truck. Well, it was an enormous truck, which I'm sure the truck that I saw, what I saw about her truck was it had been in a lot of little accidents, you know. So she probably doesn't want that on her insurance. But you see, it's going to all work out. But as soon as you love it, bless it, and release it. And then the most amazing thing was, you see, I only told a very few people, so I told you people tonight. Years ago, what would I have been on? I've been on the phone with everyone I ranked. I would have had everyone on my side saying, Dallas, it wasn't your fault. Now you know what a good driver you are and all this, that, and the other thing. Well, you see, you can't do that anymore. When you're in this teaching, you have to be honest. And you have to be honest with yourself. I created it. It wasn't what I wanted to create. But I have to take the responsibility for creating it and take it without any blame. Without any blame. I'm not blaming myself for that. And I'm not blaming her for that. I call that an event. That's what that was. It was an event. And then I say to myself, what can I learn from this event? I can learn what? That I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter. Years ago, that would have crumbled. I would have crumbled with that because I said, oh, my God, now look at the money. You don't have the money anyway, and now you're spending money, and that was nonsense, Allison. You should have been paying attention, and you should have been, and you. And beat myself up. Oh, no. I got into the car. I said to myself, I was on an errand. I think I'll go finish it. I went and finished the errand. Here again, years ago, I went right home and got under the covers and stayed for about 3 days bemoaning this whole thing, you see. And again, soliciting all that sympathy that you can get from people, you know. I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to do that, you see. I can forgive myself, and I can totally love myself. This accident and the emotions that came up, the resentment, the anger, the hate, was gone in 2 hours. I was able to clear it in 2 hours. Where, years ago, 2 years, we would still be talking about that. You'll remember when that woman hit me. Oh, man, what, she was awful. You know. Now, the reason why we love, bless, and release things, we take the responsibility without the blame, is because we don't want to repeat it. You see? If you keep it in your mind constantly, you're going to keep getting the same thing. Somebody's going to keep smashing into you, until you learn to forgive yourself and to see yourself as the wonderful human beings that you are. And know that this power is inside of you. It's also outside of you. It's the only power there is. But the power is inside. And when you realize that, you cannot be defeated. You cannot be defeated. So find that power this year. And keep your focus on what you want. So renew your mind and renew your life this year. And reinvest in yourself. Reinvest in yourself. Know that you are worthy to do that. You see, that's all it takes in this world, is to know that you're connected to this power and that you can use this power. And then keep your mind focused on what you want. Keep your mind focused on what you want. If you, whatever it is, you can have it. And you see, I said this before, this thing called God will not give you an idea, will not give you a desire, and will not give you a want without being able to make them come true for you. Because God, it would be like giving an ice cream cone to a child. And before the child is able to lick the cone, it's ripped out of their hand. This thing called God does not do that. Does not do that. So in the new year, renew your thinking. Renew your mind. It's always going to be done with renewal of your mind by changing your beliefs, your attitudes, your viewpoints, and your opinions. Learn to change them. You see, and everything will change around you. Everything will change around you. But every day, remember that it's a mental world and that you are causing it. You are causing everything that comes into your life. You see, in that accident, I had to sit and say to myself, Dallas, you were the cause under your own experience. And what I was experiencing, I caused. And I take responsibility for that. But without any blame, shame, or guilt whatsoever. It's just an event that happened. And now, because I can do that, I can go back and live, inside in peace, with peace of mind, so that my mind is not doing me in every minute of every day. You have to remember, you're not your mind. You are not your mind. And your mind, if you do not control it, will control you. So in 08, focus. Remember that you live in a mental world. And remember that you can have what you want, that you deserve that. And you don't have to prove that to anybody. When I was a child and I said I want something, why? You had to come up with the reason why. God does not ask why. You can say, I want this. And God doesn't say, well, why do you want that? You say, no. The mere fact that you want it. It's just that easy, that simple. And you can do it. You can do it. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.